Thanks for listening, folks. This is Talk Theater in Chicago. My guest this week is Carol Moore, who is a reviewer in Chicago. Hello, Carol.
Hi, Tom. How are you doing?
Great. Tell us how you got involved with reviewing.
Well, it's kind of one of those things. I was in the right place at the right time.
That sounds like my story. Tell us, you were in the right place at the right time.
I've always been a theater lover, and one day I was walking into a meeting and a friend of mine said, "Carol, stop." And I said, what's wrong? And he said, "Can you write about theater?" And I said, "You know what? I'm a writer. I can write about almost anything." And he said, "Well, the paper, the Northwest Indiana Times, just lost their theater reviewer. Would you like the job?" And I said, "Well, sure, why not? I'd love to write about theater." So the very next day, I went to the paper, and I thought I was going for an interview, so I took writing samples and things with me. And the guy that I interviewed with said, "Okay, thanks for the samples. Let's go take your picture. Your first column's due on Friday."
Wow, and that was terrific.
Yeah. So it was a real, it was one of those things. And I wrote a weekly column for the Northwest Indiana Times for the next 9 years, reviewing primarily Northwest Indiana theater, but some Chicago also.
Okay. Wow. What kind of show? You did local stuff. You were telling me that there was some good community theater in the Hammond area.
Oh, yeah. Well, we have something like 22 community theaters out here in Northwest Indiana.
Wow. That's a lot.
Yeah, it's really amazing. I could watch theater almost, if they were performing any time other than weekends, you could see a lot of theater here. But, of course, they compete because they're all on Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Yeah.
But there are a couple of really, really good theaters out here. The Toll Theater in Hammond is a professional theater, but they're not Equity. And they do really, really good work with smaller shows. They look for brand new things that are kind of edgy.
Oh, okay. But what got you to come in the city? Because I see you just about every show I go to.
It was a funny thing. My editor said, asked me if I would preview a show that was going to be opening at Steppenwolf. And so I wrote a preview. And then David, what's his last name, Rosenberg, started inviting me to the Steppenwolf shows. And so I started writing about reviewing that. Well, not really reviewing, but kind of including it in my column. And then I got invited to a few other Chicago shows, and so I started actually doing reviews. And then at some point, I got a little fed up with the paper because they kept cutting my space, and they would edit my stuff and take things out, and it got a little frustrating.
They were actually taking stuff out of your reviews?
Oh yeah, they would, to shorten them, which is I think kind of common sometimes with papers.
Yeah,
they
but
don't have
wouldn't
space.
It be better if they just told you what the square, how many inches you had, or how many words?
Well, yeah, I think so. It would have been. But unfortunately, they didn't always tell me that. I would go by what I was told I had to give them. And then all of a sudden they would say, "Well, it's too long. We have to take out this much." And instead of letting me take it out, they would take it out. So things didn't quite make sense. So about 6 years ago, I stopped writing for the paper. I got a little frustrated, and I already had a website, so I emailed a few of the media contacts that I had, the PR reps for some of the theaters, and said, I've left the paper, and I have this website, and I'd like to continue reviewing on the website. does that work? And they were all very happy to let me, to say, yeah, we'd love to have you review.
So what's your site now? Say it slow so people can remember it.
Okay, it's www.spotlightonlake.com.
Spotlight on Lake.
Yes.
Cool. I'll remember that. I have never been on there. Then you started reviewing for Al Breslov, right?
Yeah, not too long ago. You know, Al and I would see each other everywhere. And I guess it was sometime last year, Al said, asked me if I was going to be at some show that he couldn't make. And I said, yeah, I am. And he said, would you mind sharing your review with me? And I said, no, no problem at all. So now, you know, if I'm going to something that he's not, he uses my review. If he's going to something that I'm not, I use his review. So it's really good. It's great for both of us.
And your reviews go on Al's site and your site.
Yes.
That's a good plan. See, Al is generous that way. A lot of people would say, no, it's exclusively for me or not.
Yeah, I know. He's great. Yeah. He's really, really great to work with.
Okay, so now let's go back a little bit more of your background. So you've been covering theater for what, 10 years now?
About 15 years now.
15. All right, that's what I'm on, 15 years. But you have a background that's more than theater. Didn't you tell me you did other media?
I did. For, probably 15 years, I did a cable television show, a weekly show. And I was my own producer and interviewer. And I would just find interesting people and interview them for this show. It was called This Week in Munster. And it was obviously a show primarily centered at Bob Munster and what was going on here in town, because that's where I live, in Munster, Indiana.
Okay, so you're right by Theater at the Center.
Yes, I am. I live about 5 minutes away from Theater at the Center.
You're the only one that I know of that's only 5 minutes away.
Yeah, I know. Well, it's really, really nice, because most of the time I drive at least an hour to get to any performance.
You know, that speaks a lot to your commitment to loving theater and to wanting to communicate, because I've seen you at Writers, I've seen you at Marriott. That's a long ride for you, isn't it?
Yeah, Marriott is probably the second furthest I go, because I do go out to Aurora, to Paramount. And then occasionally I go over to South Bend, Indiana, and review the South Bend Civic Theater.
Oh, is that a professional theater?
It's a semi-professional.
Okay. On the university, probably get a lot of Notre Dame students in some of the shows.
No, actually they don't, because Notre Dame actually has its own theater organization. And in the summertime, the Notre Dame Shakespeare Festival has professional Shakespeare.
Yeah, I've been out there. They really do some good stuff.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah, they bring in some type. So tell us what you like in town.
Right now?
Yeah, currently.
Let's see. There are some that are really, really wonderful that are playing. I'm in love with Elf. I just love that show. And, you know, of course, we all saw it 4 days before Halloween, which was not quite the right time, but it was a lot of fun.
Up at Marriott, right?
Up at Marriott, yes. And I particularly liked, I saw you at The Incredible Journey of Edward Tulane.
Yes, wasn't that fantastic?
I thought that was one of the best shows of the year. It's much more than a children's show.
Oh, I agree. I think adults would like it. I think anybody likes good storytelling, because that's really what it's a storytelling kind of thing. Yeah.
It is. I really, really enjoyed it, and I would love to see that in an adult theater. I think it would do very well, because it's such a good story.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more.
Yeah. Let me think. What do I really, really like? I loved the Chicago Shakespeare production of The Tempest. I thought it was so amazing. And the magic just, The Tempest has always been about magic. So it's just so logical to bring magic into it.
Yeah, because I've seen that, you know, that can be a tough show to get through with some of the productions of it. And adding the magic was really amazing. I think shows like that bring people back to Shakespeare, that it isn't this dry, boring, Olivier stuff that it
Oh, I know. That was probably one of the most innovative shows I think I've ever seen.
Yeah, I would agree with that. So what else do you like in town?
Well, let's see. I took my granddaughter to see Dragons Love Tacos at Emerald City Playhouse, or it's Emerald City Children's Theater. Anyway, they perform up at the Apollo.
Yes, I have not been there in a long, long time. Tell us about that a little bit.
Well, they actually have two shows running right now, Dragons Love Tacos, and the other one is the Magic Tree House, A Night in New Orleans. And I think they alternate on Saturday mornings. They do really creative work, and it's very age appropriate. Molly right now, Molly is six, so she's right at the age that either one of those shows is perfect for her. Let's see, the Dragons Love Tacos has a lot. I think the thing that Molly liked most about it is there was a young boy in the show who never talks because people talk at him. All he says is and she said that's a lot like she feels a lot of the time.
Well, that's good. And kids are such a great audience. They're a reviewer. If they don't like it, they'll say so. There's no, they either like it or they don't. And how does she, did she like the show, right?
Oh yeah, she really did. She, with her, when we leave the theater, if she liked it, she wants autographs. If she doesn't like it, she walks right past the actors. And she demanded autographs after that show. She really, really liked it. And the same thing with their other show, Magic Tree House. She loved both of them.
Did you see both of them at the same at
No, I no, two separate
two
weekends.
separate weekends? Okay, let's talk about your philosophy of reviewing, because one of the trends I see in a lot of the reviewers, and I'm sure you would agree with me, they're either very negative and they find something wrong with every show, and we know that publication that does that, and why they keep going to something if they don't like it is beyond me. The other ones that I call cheerleaders that make excuses for show and they love everything they see. But I found that your reviews are very fair, and if you're not afraid to, if a show's bad, to not recommend it. And I
Well,
admire that, because if more of us would do that to the really bad things, maybe they'll just make them better.
Yeah, it took me a while to figure out how to actually say what I, when I started out, of course, I was reviewing community theater, and a lot of the people, I could say negative things about plays all over the place, but I didn't want to say negative things about people who were volunteering. So I learned how to kind of take a step back if I didn't like a performance and say and word things in a different way to try to be fair to these people and yet say what I wanted to say. For example, I saw a production early on in my career of Into the Woods, which was difficult to watch. So what I said was some people might find Sondheim heavy going.
Okay,
In order to kind of say, hey, I really didn't like the show, but I don't want to, be negative about these people.
yeah, I kind of learned that too. Because when you first start out, you're enthusiastic and you want to, help put people in the seats. That's, I think, one of the legitimate roles of reviewers. But I learned, it took me a while, I learned things like miscast. The material was a little bit beyond them. We learned the buzzwords of saying they were terrible,
Yeah,
without being
exactly.
personal,
Yeah, to this day, I really try not to say anything negative about the people in a show
I
because they're
agree.
all working hard. I can tell they're working hard.
And it's not their fault if they're miscast, because especially equity actors, you take what you get.
Or, you know, in some cases, I've seen some shows where the director just didn't even block the show because the actors don't know what to do with themselves, you know, and they're kind of, the movement is just restless rather than being, you know, for a reason.
Yeah, I agree.
So I don't mind saying that I think the director, you know, really messed up on this show because, or, you know, whatever, because it, that's true. But again, you know, the people are working hard. If they got bad direction, it's not their fault.
That's right. What is your view on my pet peeve about actors? And it's a lot of times it's actresses, but it's all of them, where they speak too fast. And then they swallow like the punchline or the if they're singing, you know, the harmony line, they just swallow it. That drives me crazy. What's your view of that?
Me too. You know, I can, if people eat their words, then how do they expect the audience to understand what they're saying?
Amen.
You know, and the audience is the reason they're up there on the stage after all. So you need to communicate to the audience. So there's just no excuse for running off at the mouth. You need to enunciate. They need to enunciate. And I don't mind saying that either, because if I don't understand the words to something, I will say that in my review. I didn't understand the words.
Good. I'm glad you do, because that's my pet peeve. I think Hedy Weiss does that. But too many of our fellow reviewers don't say that enough. It's the same thing with bad accents. You know, when they learn, you know, Irish or English accents, they're so proud of them. They make the accents so thick that many times you can't understand them. And better to hint at the accent in lieu of, so we could understand them.
But on the other hand, you know, I remember when the Broadway touring company for Billy Elliot came into Chicago, and I knew a lot of people who told me proudly that they left an intermission, and I just would look at them and say, why? Well, you know, we couldn't understand them. You know, they weren't speaking the right kind of English, you know, and I said, but, you know, if you listen, you can understand what they were saying. They were from the north of England.
Yeah, that Yorkie is a tough accent. But, right, if you tune into it, you'll understand it.
It's the same thing as listening to Shakespeare. Once you've been listening for about 4 minutes, everything computes. You know, you hear it and you understand it. And I think that that's the case with an accent that's done right.
I agree.
But I agree. I don't like an accent that's done badly.
Or if they speak too fast and do the accent, then it's really hard.
Oh, yeah. That's terrible.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I appreciate the fact that you do say that, because I think if enough of us say things like that, and when they haven't blocked the show right, then, you know, they'll listen. They read our reviews. And I've gotten emails over the years to say, you should come back. I slowed them down, and now you can understand them. And I always tell them, so I'm glad you did that. But, you know, there's so many shows, it's pretty hard to do that.
Yeah, it really is. It really is.
So how many shows do you do?
Well, it depends on the week. Probably somewhere between 2 and 5 shows a week.
Wow, that's good.
It just depends. It really depends. Some weekends, you know, there won't be anything in Chicago, but I'll see a couple of shows out here in Indiana. Some weeks, you know, like next week, I think there's only 2 shows opening all week. So it'll be a quiet week. I think Hershey Felder's opening on Tuesday, and Drury Lane White Christmas opens on Thursday.
That's right. Yeah, but November will be fairly busy. So it sounds like you're doing a couple of hundred shows a year.
I am. I keep very, very busy.
How addicting is it? Do you get withdrawals when you don't see a show for a week or two, like sometimes over the holidays?
Yeah, I do. But then on the other hand, you know, I always think to myself, okay, I've got this time off. I'm going to get so much accomplished. And then I don't.
That's true. So tell us, so your philosophy is, do you go to shows looking for the good, because you like theater, or do you go to the shows kind of neutral, just saying, well, let's see what it's about? What's your view of that?
Well, gosh, that's hard to articulate. I go to theater and I write about theater because I love it. But when I go into a show, I'm trying to observe a lot of things. Well, first of all, I don't take notes. I've seen some reviewers sit and take notes during a
Yeah,
show.
you can't see the show if you're trying to take notes. Yeah.
You can't.
Yeah.
You can't. Now, every once in a while, I'll jot something down if there's something I particularly want to remember, like a phrase or something like that. But I'm 95% of the time I don't. Because, well, and the other thing is, I think that annoys people that are sitting near you if you're jotting down notes.
Yeah.
But I'm trying to kind of get a feel for what the audience is feeling too. I'm kind of looking around a little bit at the people sitting near me and how they're reacting to whatever it is they're seeing. And if they're sitting there shifting in their seats and shuffling their feet, then I know that this is a bad show. I mean, aside from everything else that I think, they didn't like it. And I might find some reason why I think it's an okay show, but if they don't like it, then I need to say, hey, it wasn't an okay show. I mean, I could say these good things about it, but really, like Unspeakable, for example.
I love your review of that. You put a fork in that one pretty good.
Well, it was really a bad show.
Yeah.
And there was just so much that could have been done with that show, but they just didn't. And I noticed there was a couple on one side of me and a couple on the other side of me. And after intermission, well, and they were both really restless during the show. And I personally couldn't understand anything they said in the first act, or 95% of what they said. They
Except
were
for the one word you understood.
well, yeah, really, the one word that you didn't want to understand. But both couples left at intermission. So when I came back after intermission, I was pretty much sitting in the row by myself, my
Yeah.
friend and I.
I know.
So,
I was sitting back a little bit and I noticed people leaving before the act. And amazingly, people came back for act two and then they left in the middle of act two, which is strange. Yeah.
Yeah, I know. So, I have to say, I found that I have to say what I think. If I think it's really, really not a good show, then I have to say so.
Okay. What's your view of shows that you might not like, but they are legitimate stage-worthy shows and they have an audience that might not be us, you know?
Well, I have to look at the merit of the show. I might not like it. There are shows that I really don't like personally. But, and it's because I don't like the show or I don't like the music or I don't like something about the show. But I have to look at what the actors are doing with it, what the director did with it, and how the audience likes it, and be fair to all of those things and ignore what I think about it.
Good.
A good example of that is Cats. I just hate that show. I just don't find anything good about it. But, when somebody does a production of it, I have to be fair to the cast and
So you become more of a consumer advocate reporter than a
well, yeah. Well, because I'm trying not to let my prejudice against the material affect what I'm saying. Because I don't want that to affect the theater's ability to put bodies in those
Well,
seats.
that's good you do that because not enough of us do that.
I mean, and sometimes I can't, but I really try my best not to let my personal
But
dislike.
do you say that in your reviews? You say, I really don't like, I've never really
Yeah.
liked Cats, but and then you say a lot of good things about it because the production was good.
Yes, I do. I do. Because there are shows that, that I think are just wonderful shows and I love them and I would go back and see them I don't know how many times. And then there are shows that, they're dated or they're whatever. But you know, you got to try and be fair to them.
I couldn't agree with you more. And so you take a newspaper reporter's point of view, that to a certain extent you're critiquing a show, but you're also being a consumer advocate and saying who the audience is for this show.
Well, yeah, I think so. At least I try to do that if it's something that I really don't like. On the other hand, if it's something that, again, if it's something I don't think is good, then I'm going to say so.
Yeah.
Don't waste your money, or I wish I, you know, I'll never get that 2 hours back.
We've both been through a few of those, yeah. Yeah.
You know, so, but yeah, there are shows that I will say don't waste your money.
Okay, in the interest of time, these are questions that I've asked other reviewers when I've had them on. What are some of your all-time favorite shows, musicals and dramas?
My all-time favorites, let's see. Oh, wow, that's a really good question. You know, I like anything Shakespeare. I always have. You know, for 10 years before I started reviewing, I had season tickets at Chicago Shakespeare because I think it's just such a wonderful. So anything Shakespeare gets my vote. I really, really like Shakespeare.
What about musicals?
Musicals. Let's see. Well, I like kind of new and sort of innovative musicals. You know. The Rodgers and Hammerstein stuff is good and it's beautiful and it's wonderful, and yet I've heard it so many times that, you know, I'm not sure if there's a new way to do it.
Okay.
You know what I mean? But then when I see something something new and really different, you know, then I can really get into it and enjoy it a lot.
What did you think of Once?
I loved it. I thought it was an amazing show. In fact, I bought the soundtrack.
Did you really?
I did. So
that
yeah,
fits
I
your
must...
criteria.
Yes, it does. It does. Well, and you know, I liked Mercury has done a couple of things that I really liked. The retooled Addams Family.
Yes, that was awesome. Better than the national tour.
You know, I just saw a community theater production of the national touring show. They didn't have the revised material. They had, and I forgot how bad the material was in that original show. You know, but like the retooled one was fabulous. What Mercury did with it was amazing.
Yeah. Ring of Fire, which played at Munster, also was. They did a great job with.
Yeah, and you know, I'm not a Johnny Cash fan, but I saw that show a couple times, and I thought it was an amazingly good show. I was very pleased with it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you know, and let's see. I really liked Spamalot. I think Spamalot is a really fun show.
And Munster just did one of the best productions of that I've seen. I love the show, too.
You know, seeing Larry Adams... doing the twist, just
having fun. Yeah, he's so serious all the time, but
having
fun.
Yeah, he's always a romantic lead, mm-hmm. And here he was playing a tongue-in-cheek King Arthur, and he was so good at it and so funny.
Yes, he was. Okay, in the interest of time, we're almost out of time. I like to ask this question: what advice would you give to young theater enthusiasts who might want to be interested in becoming a reviewer? What would you tell them?
Well, first thing I would say is learn how to write. Writing is not easy. It takes a lot of practice to learn how to write well, I think. I've been writing, you know, I used to write scripts for videos. I used to produce videos for businesses, and I learned how to write scripts. And people need to learn to understand that there's a way. If you know, I have a friend who writes plays, and he, you know, he's writing for the stage. I used to write for the theater when I wrote videos. When you write a column, you're writing opinion. When you write a news release or a news story, you're writing facts. And you need to understand the differences between those different kinds of writing. That's my first piece of advice. Second piece of advice I give to anybody who wants to be a writer is learn how to listen. If you can't listen, you can't produce anything that's worthwhile. And listening to plays is just the same as listening to a customer. You're listening and you're trying to say something about what you heard and then saw, of course. Let's see, the third thing. Oh, that's hard. Don't assume that you know everything.
Amen.
You know, go into it assuming that you know nothing. I think that's the best advice I can give.
Very good. Last question. What are your plans? What do you see yourself doing 5 years from now, 10 years from now?
Well, that's a really good question. As long as I can continue doing what I'm doing, I love it. My husband retired about 5 years ago, and he keeps asking me when I'm going to retire. And I said, as long as I can keep doing what I'm doing, I'm not retiring. I love being a reviewer. I think it's just a wonderful thing to see the very best theater in the whole country on a regular basis. Oh my gosh, what else is there in this world?
I agree. Thanks so much. This has been wonderful. And I always tell folks, go see a play this week. Thank you very much. Thanks for listening.